who's up for some second chances? We know our review is up for a second chance. And we knew these playoffs last week were going to get wild. We just didn't know in this way. A shocker early in the week. Canyon Springs upsets our review, moves on to the second round of the playoffs, only they don't. They have to forfeit an Arborview. Gets a second chance, as I mentioned, going up against Desert Pines on Friday. I'm having a tough time wrapping my head fully around this, Brewer.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a historic decision by... And I think that's the problem that folks are having a hard time wrapping their head around. Was this the Clark County School District? Was this the NIAA? Because the school district was the one that determined the player in question for Canyon Springs had been competing ineligibly. And then they said the game had to be forfeited, and then they turned it into the NIAA, who hosts the tournament. And that's where we got to. So... the rarest of rares, this never happens. It's only happened once before in my 20 plus years of doing it, where a game had to go, we had to go back and reverse the outcome of a game because of a player who was ineligible. They ruled that this player from Canyon Springs had been competing all season. He shouldn't have been. So all the wins for the Pioneers were washed away. Arborview, the biggest beneficiary, their playoff loss, which was an upset, right? Nobody expected Canyon to go in and beat Arbor.
That was the game I was most sure about, probably, on the schedule last week, that Arbor would win.
Is reversed. Arbor now through the semifinals, and we get a game that I think everybody wants to see, Desert Pines against Arborview. Granted, both teams are massively behind in preparing for each other. And, you know, I guess a lot of questions obviously come ahead is why, when Canyon Springs was 0-6, did nobody point out that they had a player who was ineligible, right? Why is it just Arborview that benefits? The week prior, the same Canyon team beat Legacy, took the 3 seed. Legacy was the 4. Legacy loses Centennial. They should have been playing Arbor, a team they nearly beat this year.
Yeah, because of all of this...
And El Dorado.
I have to disagree with you. I'm not dying to see this game right now. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, which we already did, I should introduce, as always, this is Prep Sports Now. I'm Case Kiefer with Ray Brewer.
Him.
No, I got too excited to talk about this situation.
Well, we're like a minute in.
It's all right. It's better late than never. I'm just not excited to see this game, and I take nothing away from our review. Of course, if you're given a second life, you're going to take it. And good for them, but it just doesn't feel right to me seeing them still get to be in the playoffs, seeing them get to potentially pull this big upset when at the end of the day they lost on the field. Fair and square. I don't know. It just gives, and like you said, how far back can we take this thing? The Canyon Springs kid had been ineligible for several weeks, so now other teams aren't getting the opportunities that our review got. I don't know. The whole thing, it just rubs me the wrong way. I don't necessarily know that I have like a strong take on what they should have done, because I also know then it's unfair if Desert Pines just gets a bye, but just something doesn't rub me the right way when we literally saw a team get eliminated from the playoffs, and never mind. You get... This turns into a double elimination tournament for one team. I mean, Canyon Springs beat other teams too, like you said, Legacy, that didn't get, you know, anything out of having to play against an ineligible player. So I don't know. The whole thing's just kind of grimy to me.
Yeah. So the history, like I said, in 20 years, I've ran into this once in football and once in another sport. In football, in the late 90s or maybe early 2000s, Las Vegas High had a quarterback who was ineligible, and they found out like the Wednesday before the playoffs were to start, and that flipped one team that qualified for the playoffs turned out didn't make it, and a team who thought their season was over, they got to go in. So they redid the brackets and they moved the games to Monday. So they played the first round of the playoffs on a Monday. So they went Monday and then Friday that year. And I was at the game Western beat Shap. Big division. So you know it was a while ago, because both those teams haven't been competitive in the big division in a while. And then I think it was in 08, because Silver was here, the girls' soccer playoffs. Was I telling you about this earlier?
Yeah, okay. Kind of. I don't know if you ever finished.
Okay,
all the
so
way,
Shadow Ridge had a player who had some practices with another team before transferring over to Shadow. And then once all that got sorted out, a playoff round had already been played, and they had to bring teams back in the playoffs whose season had been over for, you know, more than a week, and it was just a scheduling disaster. So after that, I believe the NIAA determined that the way they look at the forfeitures is based on discovery. So it was discovered this week that Canyon had the player that shouldn't have been playing. And so that's where they set it back. So if it was discovered last week, then Legacy would have been the beneficiary. If it was scheduled and they were 0-6, who cares, because they were 0-6. So really screws for I think across the board, everybody agrees that it's awful for Canyon Springs. One player in a game of 11, unless it's, you know, Chris Marshall from Del Sol, the best player on the field, doesn't make that much of an impact. You know, this player was a skilled position player who touched the ball a lot for Canyon Springs. So, yeah, if he was ineligible, the onus, you know, falls on whomever. You know, was the kid cleared? Was the kid not cleared? Was there a misunderstanding and communication between the school district office and the school? Of course, Canyon Springs isn't commenting, so we don't know the answer to some of these questions. But I think the general consensus is that everybody feels awful for Canyon Springs, who was peaking at the end of the year, right? They beat Legacy. They beat Canyon. They beat Arbor. And it sucks, man. It's awful for those kids. I really feel bad. And, you know, of course, Case, you get the narrative that, you know, Canyon's an inner-city school. Arbor views into more of an affluent neighborhood. And that, okay, in the beginning of the year, the school district ruled that, you know, Clark, Rancho, and Valley couldn't use their field turf. But Arbor View could keep to use theirs, even though Arbor View's turf was in equally as bad shape. And now Arbor View again is the beneficiary. All of a sudden they determine this kid 3 months later is ineligible and they get to go through. So a lot of people out there have a lot of questions.
Yeah, so the actual result of the game before all this happened was Canyon Springs beat Arbor View 24-20.
And did you see how they beat them?
I'm trying to. It's hard to find the exact what happened now. So something about a field. They messed up a field goal.
They're down 20-17 with like 3 minutes to play. They line up for a straight down the center 25-yard field goal. They're going to tie it at 20. Snap comes rolling in. Martin Blake picks it up, but he keeps his knee from hitting the ground. And then he runs around, and then he throws it left-handed. I don't know if the kid's righty or lefty. Throws like a perfect spiral into the end zone, and there's a kid wide open there. He catches it, and Canyon goes up 24-20. So they went from going to tie the game to, oh, God, a bad snap. Arbor's going to win to, bam, salvage the play. Fire, 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 right?
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Too bad it didn't really happen now. According to the
it didn't rules. Happen. 0-0.
Yeah, but that so is Arbor incredible. Arbor advances despite the 24-20 loss.
Here's the thing that this we should be talking Gorman Liberty from start to finish.
Yeah,
We've been waiting all year.
I was about to try to transition us. You did it a little more aggressively, but that's fine. Go ahead and talk about it. What is there say off the mouth of Ray Brewer?
No, it's just this is the regional championship game, Gorman against Liberty. It's kind of the game we wait for all year, right? Liberty has not hid their intentions to beat Gorman. Liberty's not hid the fact that they try to mirror their program after Gorman. Liberty's gone out and taken on this national schedule, went to Texas with Kenyon Oblad and pulled up the upsets of all upsets only after Gorman went to Texas and beat somebody. And every year, Liberty has some momentum going into the game, and they think they figured it out, and they show up, and they say, this is the year we're going to give Gorman a run for their money. Anything could happen. It's Friday night. And Gorman, more times than not, goes to a convincing victory. So we're at that day.
More times than not, I think every time. Even the time it's been close. Even the times it's been close, it's been like 21 points.
Well, so I go back to the day UNLV beat North Carolina in basketball and we stormed the court. They played at Rancho. It was the Nico Capelli year. And Gorman had
the Kainakua year.
No. Oh, well, yeah. No. This was their junior year.
Okay, I know. I just feel like those teams we always call Nico Capelli, but Kainakua was pretty good as well.
Kainakua, yeah, he's in the NFL. He was good. I understand. But Nico Capelli had a big – and that was when Liberty had the gigantic offensive line, right? They started with those big linemen, and Capelli burst through, and they were up in the third quarter with like 5 minutes to go. Now, Gorman, granted, they closed the game with like 3 touchdowns, and it hasn't been close ever since, including 84-8. You remember 84-8?
I do. Last year was 42-28. I think Liberty might have scored some late, but that one was actually closer than I realized, too.
And I think Liberty left that game thinking they'd close the gap a little bit. I don't want to speak for Liberty. CK.
Well, I hope they did, because I would love for this to be an entertaining game.
I think even Gorman wants it to be an entertaining game.
I don't know about that. Gorman would rather blow him out.
All right, you're right. I'm not going
to
argue.
But still, everyone else, I'm with you. Everyone else would like to see it. And last week's results weren't all that different. Gorman beat Green Valley 42-7. Liberty beats Foothill 52-21.
But it was close.
Oh, it was close till late.
They pulled away there. That was probably the Foothill gave them a good game. It was, you'd have to read my story. I think Liberty was never down, but they didn't pull away until late. Foothill had a good effort.
Yeah, so maybe it was a little bit closer than the score indicates. Foothill always does that to Liberty. I'm just saying, if you want to make a case that this is the year where the Patriots, if everything goes right, could beat the Gales, I think maybe you look at the scores the last few weeks and you look at who Liberty has played. I think maybe you could argue that. I'm still not totally buying it, but it's fair to say maybe the gap has closed just a tiny bit.
We'll find out. I know that Liberty's 0-5 start to the season. They lost a few close games. They were blown out a few games, but they really found a quarterback through all this in Daniel Britt, a guy who could run and who could pass. They've got a great wide receiver in Jeremy Bernard. They've got a great tight end in Malakati Matavi. They're good. They could play. Now, my question is how are the DBs going to handle up against the long ball? And then Micah Bowens, we saw it last year. Stop him on first down, stop him on second down. You're thinking, oh, gosh, Gorman's going to go 3 and out here to open the game. And then Bowens flips the field just like that 80-yard run. So could Gorman contain, you know, probably the best athlete on the field, the kid going to Penn State?
Yeah, that's a big ask, but we will see. They do get them at home. This game is at Liberty.
Liberty on the dirt of Liberty, the beach slash whatever it is. So,
and to further expound on what I was saying, that you could make a case. I know I would probably yell at Brewer if he used this, but I'm just reaching, trying to say Liberty has a chance. If you use the transitive property, they beat Green Valley 59-0 earlier in the year. So Green Valley hung with Gorman a little bit more.
I love how you bring that up. That was really good of you, CK. I will say that, as you may or may not know, that game had a little extra significance for Liberty.
Now, that's true. But still, I still think there are some ways you can twist and turn this to say Liberty has a chance. Either way, we're going to get to it. We'll break it down a little bit more in the picks. But before we do that, there were a few other games last week I think we need to discuss. Another upset, at least by the seedings, Palo Verde beats Las Vegas High, a game you attended, and looks like Palo Verde won pretty handedly. It's been a while since the Panthers advanced in the playoffs, so you got to give them a shout-out for that.
Yeah, actually, I really enjoyed myself at that game. You know, I felt like I was back in 2008, Vegas against Palo. Palo's got a few kids that could go. I really, really appreciated their defense. They made a few big time stops, even though they gave up a kick return late. You know, I've been high on the kid all year, Paul Miro, right? Mm-hmm. Stats aren't great, actually, but I think he's brought some stability and some leadership and a winning mentality that's really helped Palo Verde. Sharon Thomas, a great junior, runs the ball hard every play.
You want to talk about stats that are great? I got to think his numbers are looking pretty good.
He's a senior, my bad. And you know a kid who, you know, they've got Amir McGruger, who's played real well. They just got some big, good high school football players. And I'm really – I was really impressed. They're better than I thought they were. And I think they're going to give Centennial fits. They gave Centennial fits the first time. And, you know, football at this juncture of the season is all about momentum, CK, right? And I think the Panthers have some momentum. It's going to be a great semifinal game. Jordan's, you know what they're going to do. It's going to be whose running back is going to have the most success.
Teron Thomas is averaging nearly 9 yards per carry. So, yeah, safe to say he's having a pretty good year. And I think that was Palo's first loss maybe of the year when they played Centennial early in the year.
And it was close until the end.
Yeah, they were up, I think, maybe even in the second half. Centennial ended up winning by 2 scores.
And by the way, I got to give this kid a shout out.
Okay, let's hear it.
Palo's got a really good kicker.
Oh, yeah?
Zach Moore.
You used to always give me a hard time because I always notice the really good linemen. You're always shouting out the kickers these days. Well, you're a kicker guy.
We've got like 3 D1 kickers in town with the Eason kid at Arbor,
mm-hmm.
who I would bet ends up with Bobby Houck at Montana.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
You must have some intel there.
It's tough. Yeah, I guess I do. And then just a random the kid with drop. The best leg in town is the Perez kid at Shap. He's an absolute monster.
Oh, yeah. He's punting and kicking. Won them some games this year.
Doesn't have any form and has no formal training. But if you could find somebody to teach him how to be a field goal kicker in college, he's got the best leg in town. One of the best legs I've seen. And then you get this kid from Palo, real deal, Zach Moore, CK, college kicker. He'll be our all-city kicker next year.
All right, Zach Moore. So Palo Verde, a hidden weapon of sorts. I hadn't heard about him this year, but that's always big. And speaking of their opponent that they'll be playing, Centennial, what do you know? Another loss for Legacy.
Yeah, I know that the Jordan Smith kid had 200 yards rushing, 4 touchdowns for Centennial. That kid is just every week, man. They give him an opportunity to take the game over. More times than not, he's able to do so. I think it's going to come down to what running game could oppose its will the best, or which defense could stop the run the best, because you know what's coming. I mean, they're not going to trick you at all. Tenney to Robinson had a touchdown against Legacy, and Legacy, I think they had 5 losses by less than 7 points this year.
Yeah, that's why I said they lose all their games. It seems like are close losses.
Yeah.
And once they get over that hump, they could be pretty dangerous.
Yeah, and of course they feel like they should get their season should be rebooted as well.
Yeah, and I can't blame them. That's why there was no good solution to what happened. But that's okay. Arborview gets the second chance, and they'll be playing Desert Pines, who I think was the most impressive team of last week, probably. I think you could have made a case that Faith was going to keep it close, and you look at the final, Desert Pines 41, Faith Lutheran 17, and Desert Pines jumped out on them right from the beginning, 3 first-quarter touchdowns. That was kind of a statement from the Jaguars to me.
And what I really liked about Desert Pines is, you know, for me, and you agree with me on this, I don't know why I'm saying the obvious, but there's a difference between regular season football and playoff football, right? Regular season football, you can make some mistakes. Even if you lose, you can make up for it. In the playoffs, everything gets tight. It's a little cooler out. And it's really like which team can impose their will on the other team. And I love what Desert Pines did. They said, okay, listen, we've been throwing the rock around with our quarterback all season. We've got these great receivers and, you know, Moore and Jackson. But we're just going to run the rock. We're going to get behind our horses and we're going to power up and try to stop us. So Javonte Barnes goes off for, you know, 200 yards and a touchdown.
I mean, their quarterback, whose name I can't say, RJ Tagatisi, did go 10 for 17 for 180 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Nothing, though. That kid throws the ball 20 times.
I know, but it's not like they didn't throw at all. You're making it sound like they got in the Arborview double wing. And
yeah, but yeah, I agree with
they were
you.
Somewhat balanced. I mean, it looks like they had 32 rushing attempts and 17 passing attempts, something like that. In high school football, that's not a huge split.
But for DP, because DP throws the rock around, they got some Jimmys and Joes.
Well, it's good to show they can do both things, for sure.
But I liked how they ran the ball. They were like, okay, let's make a statement. Now, I do not like the matchup against Arborview for Desert Pines. Obviously, it's a rivalry. And if Desert Pines gets in that wing and runs that wing like they know how to. I'm Arborview. If Arborview gets in that wing and runs the wing like they know how to, that's a tough cross for Desert Pines to bear. Going from playing a team they beat 49-13 to an Arborview team that gives it. You were at the game last year. There's no way Arbor should have won that game.
We've relitigated this a lot of times.
Have we?
Yeah, I always said Arbor was the better team. Desert Pines just had some things fall their way, and they blew a lead. But Arborview, if you look at like the yardage and stuff, Arborview is moving the ball way easier than them.
Was that the best game you've been to since you moved here?
No.
It wasn't?
No.
Not in terms of like...
There were a lot of mistakes. I mean, that game was cool and everything, but there were a lot of...
But like in terms of drama and...
No, that Gorman game was like the best game I've ever seen in anything. Yeah.
That was crazy.
I agree with you, though, that I feel for Desert Pines, this is a way tougher game to me, just the way they match up and the history there. I feel like Desert Pines is way more confident going into a Canyon Springs game. So I'm 100% with you on that.
Yeah.
Desert
Pines, of course, anytime there's some kind of drama to be had, it happens.
Yeah, I just feel like if Desert Pines, like you said, gets back to some of that regular season sloppiness that we saw, especially earlier in the year, and they make some mistakes... I mean, Arbor can 100% beat them.
Well, let me ask you this, because usually I'm the guy who plays the emotion and mental card, and you're the guy who's more X's and O's, stat driven, right? And you're feeling and you're an analyst, right?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay, how do you factor in the fact that the Arborview players that already had their season over, they were checked out, high school football was done for many of them. Are they A, rejuvenated by the reboot that they get to play one more time when they were crying, that they just wish they could do it again? Or do you think that they've already checked out and moved on and accepted it? What kind of effort, I think, are you going to get from Arborview?
Well, this is why I don't like these things, because, and you are notorious for this, which I've called you out on before, but there's two narratives there, and whichever happens, we can blame it on the one. So if they win, it's because, oh my God, they were rejuvenated. They're so excited to play one more time. If they lose, like, well, it's not fair. They already turned in their pads. Both can't be true. Yet we're going to have both be true because we're going to have confirmation bias. However, if you're just asking me to choose between the two of what I think...
That's all I'm asking you for, an opinion. I'm not asking
I'm just saying that one result is not proving one correct is all I want to say. I don't think this is right. But if I had to guess which one, I think they're going to be rejuvenated and fired up if they get to play once more, right? Especially a program with Arborview, all these kids. I don't know if they have a ton of kids that are like rushing to go get on the basketball court or whatever next sport they're playing. I'm sure there's some, but it seemed like they had, especially on defense, kind of a senior laden group of guys that really had built their high school around football. So I think they're going to be fired up and ready to go.
Okay.
What way do you lean?
I, as everything we do for some reason, and we don't plan this ahead of time, but I disagree.
You do? You think that? I mean, again, I think that this is a bunch of nonsense. Yeah. So I'm just picking to do the exercise with you. Why do you think it's the opposite, that they've already checked out?
I just think that, you know, A, they're behind in their game planning, right? They basically have three practices to get ready.
I feel like that's true for Desert Pines, though, now, too. This is a 180 in terms of style of opponent.
I don't disagree. Both teams are behind the eight ball. I just think there's something about accepting your destiny, right? There has to be some thinking in the Arborview players that they're not as good as they were last year, right? They were taken to the limit by legacy. They lost the Centennial. They lost to, and then maybe they won out. They lost to Canyon, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were challenged by a team like Arbor that they destroyed last year. And then to have it be over and to just mentally say, I'm done. I don't have to do this again. I don't have to, you know, go through, you know, wind sprints at the end of practice, or I don't need to go lift weights, or, hey, what are you doing Friday night? You want to go to the pumpkin patch or whatever? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know. Again, I don't really buy into all this anyway.
And granted, but you're an athlete and I'm not.
Well, you just didn't play football.
Yeah.
I mean, it is hard to separate yourself from this, because I know what I'm trying to apply it to my own situation. And my team, when we lost my senior year, was so banged up. We had basically no one left. We would have probably gotten rolled if we got to play one more week. But I know that if it came out that, oh, the other team had to forfeit, you're getting to play one more week, I would have been so fired up and I would have totally bought into, oh, we have a chance to beat a team that's even better, even though in reality we probably didn't.
And the kids were just celebrating joyously through the halls like, you know, they'd hit the lotto. Let me ask you this, and I hate to get to the emotions. You're not on Dr. Seaver's sofa, but is there any guilt from the Arborview players that they're getting to play this game?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Not as high school kids. I don't think so.
Okay.
I think they will, and then I don't blame them. I think they'll gladly take another stab at it and be happy about that. Do you have another question, or was that the only one? Looked like I...
No,
looks like you're about to say one more question.
I didn't expect such a quick and swift and powerful and
well. I'm just trying to answer your. I'm just trying to answer what you asked me. Well, I think that's a good overview of what's going down in the 4A. On the 3A, we'll just touch quickly.
Oh, I want it before we get to the 3A.
Mm-hmm.
I was heartbroken for Vegas, man.
Yeah, they had. I mean, they had a great year. Hopefully, great that's something year, that. Once they have a few days, they can realize that they kind of put the program back on track.
You know, the kid that doesn't get a lot of respect that should be is that the coach of Vegas, Eric Capetillo. That kid, to his credit, man, he got those kids to buy in, and it was like the old Vegas. You know, you're walking the sideline, and it's like, defense, defense. And the kids were just engaged, and they just had a great season. And the quarterback will be back, Scroggins. I just was super impressed what they did. And when I walk, in case, you know, I never do this, but I'm walking after doing the Palo interviews and I'm walking to the car.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of went out of my way to tell Eric how proud I was of him. Because you got to remember, this guy played for Vegas High, right? Becomes the head coach in his 20s of Las Vegas High School, right? And then they lose to Mojave and they don't make the playoffs. And this kid had enough courage to get back on and to do it again, and they gave him the support, and he's able to have a great year. I mean, they were 8-1 going into that game, and they got upset. They ran into just a juggernaut, a good defensive team. One of the differences, Paolo was just so much bigger up front than Vegas was. But I was really proud of that kid. I just wanted everybody to know how happy I was.
Yeah,
Eastside, there's something about the Eastside. You don't understand it, Case. Because you don't go down to the East Side. You're not down there as much as I am, right?
I mean, I might not understand it to your extent, but I understand
You've
it. I get it.
You've never been to the Samstown Buffet before?
I remember the last year Vegas was really good under Coach Thurman. I mean, they were chanting East Side Vegas at the end of games, and they kind of had that same spirit you're talking about. So I agree with everything you said. I think
Vegas
it was a great year.
Last dance was when Liberty spanked them up pretty good for Liberty's first regional. Remember,
I think they had one pretty good year after that. The one I'm thinking of.
I was 100% convinced that Vegas was going to win that game, and that was the beginning of the beginning for Liberty.
Yeah, for sure. I do think they had another gasp after that where they were really good. The team I'm thinking about, one of
who, coach, by the way, Talich is a coach at Liberty. That means their defense might be better.
Yeah, there you have it. Yeah,
Watch out. We got action, baby.
They went 7-3 in Thurman's final year. I thought they were pretty good. But anyways, yeah, shout out to Vegas. Great season. We don't have much to say about the 3A because both of the Southern teams lost.
Yeah,
Cheyenne nearly pulled a comeback, I believe. But
yeah, both of them were down 4 touchdowns pretty quick. And again, tough to travel up north. And, you know, Cheyenne just got behind the eight ball. And I think Cheyenne was probably slightly more evenly matched than what the score was even. And you saw how they rallied. But a great season by both teams. Both won the league title. Both made the state semis. But there's just something weird about having a state championship with no team from the Vegas area in it. Makes me sick to my stomach.
Yeah, I know that's not your thing. So it will be Fernley and Churchill County. We should have heeded the words of Lake Tahoe guy, our friend Keith, who Brewer texted live during the podcast last week. He said it was going to be an all-North final. I ridiculed him. Of course, it was all out of love. We love Keith. It was playful. He was right. The last laugh is on me because it's all Southern. Although the last laugh might actually be on you. Because I had the tiebreaker of the North winning the 3A to break the tie of the picks, and right now it certainly looks like we're headed towards a tie.
I agreed to that.
you loved it. You said Moapa was the winner. You said it was Moapa and everyone else.
Well, I still would have taken Moapa, but I still like Moapa. God, it is what it is. Yeah. Virgin had a ton of interceptions. They were forcing to throw on the ball. So
that is a Ray Brewer, the one Ray Brewer theory that I don't totally discount, strikes again. That bus ride up to Churchill County really seemed to cost them. So it'll be Fernley and Churchill County. Even though Brewer can't stand the North, we wish them both the best. Hope it's a great 3A championship game. However, we won't be picking it because we don't know anything about these teams.
Yep.
All right.
Whatever Keith says on Twitter will be our pick.
All right. And we are tied going into this week, so I'll let you change any of your picks because there's no way I'm picking against any of the favorites this week. I'll just throw that out there.
The only game that I think – I really think Paolo Case has got a chance.
All right, let's start there. Paolo and Centennial.
I mean, I'm not going to change my pick. I've picked Centennial. I picked Centennial. They're at home. They've only lost once this year, for whatever it's worth. And I just remember how impressed I was with the Centennial defense when I watched them beat Arborview. I just think that this game is really going to come down to mistakes. It won't be decided until the fourth quarter. Paolo's got live action to pull up the upset. They got a winner at quarterback in Paul Myra, who is going to Oregon State on a full ride. That's tough to do for baseball. Right, Title IX, you don't get many full rides. And I just think Paolo's got a ton of momentum. You know, it's going to who gets the first break? This game's a coin flip. It could go either way. I'm not changing it. I'm picking the dogs. I think you're going to pick the dogs, too. It is what it is.
Yeah, man, Paolo Verde must have made quite the impression on you because all season I've been higher on them than you. And now going into this game, I think there's no doubt you think they have a better chance than I do. I don't totally see it here. I think it'll be somewhat close, but I feel like Paolo Verde threw everything into that first Centennial game. And yeah, it was close to the end, but Centennial still won by 14 points. I feel like Centennial already took Paolo Verde's best shot and survived. I feel like they're going to do it again. I've got Centennial, and maybe for the first time this year, I have a margin worse off for Paolo Verde than you do. I like Centennial in this game.
All right. Well, and there are some good points there. Centennial did take everything Paolo threw at him. I think they scored on a hook of ladder the first game. So you're right. Paolo had to get creative to win the game.
All right, we'll see, though. Paolo at Centennial. We'll see if this somewhat of an underdog story at this point, if Paolo Verde can keep it rolling and get to the regional final. But we both have Centennial. I guess we'll just finish off this region first before getting to the big game. Arborview at Desert Pines. Does Arborview make this chance to play again, do they make it worth it?
So I don't think that whoever was going to play Desert Pines, and I'm talking in the entire region, I think was going to lose. They were my first pick in our draft last week. But I will tell you that Arbor's got live action, right? They have the emotion of getting a reboot on their season. They have the emotion of the rivalry against Desert Pines, which they've played three times over the last four seasons, and two of the three games have been extremely close. And you know, they have an offense that is just tough to corral. So I'd say there's live action. I just don't see anybody beating Desert Pines, and I think Desert Pines is motivated. I think all year they've played down to competition, and I think this week they put their pedal to the metal.
Yeah, I've got to go Desert Pines here. If there's any justice in the world, Arborview doesn't get to roll to a state championship game after already losing in the first round of the playoffs. But I know that shouldn't come into my thinking because I should just be looking at what's going to happen now. I would be picking Desert Pines anyway, but I certainly, just seeing a team that's already lost once, I would hate to see them. I shouldn't say I'd hate because I love Arborview. We all know I've been at some of the biggest Arborview games. Everyone over there is great people, but I feel like Desert Pines deserves to win this game,
yeah,
for lack of better words. And they've been great all year.
And I want to see Desert Pines play Gorman or Liberty. Sorry.
Why would you not want to?
I've already seen Arborview play Gorman.
Yeah, so I'm going Desert Pines. I think this one's going to be close. I actually probably am going to have a little bit closer than Brewer, who has it close to three touchdowns in Desert Pines' favor. I think Arborview hangs for a little while. In the end, Desert Pines just has one too many guys. I think the Jaguars prevail. And that will take us to the region championship game.
Do you cry again if you lose? Or is one, you know what I'm saying?
That's hard to say. I don't know. That's a hard one to put into my...
Okay.
Because I feel like people are kind of gotten that out of the way. Yeah. I don't know.
This, to me, seems... You could also argue has the feel of like an all-star game.
Yeah, that's true. Also, I guess another thing, the emotion... The one emotion that you didn't really bring up that could play into it. I mean, you've already been through all that thinking your season is over, your career is over. What if RVU just comes out and just plays in extremely loose? Which sometimes that can really open you up for a better performance. I mean, they're like, hey, what do we have to lose? Our season's already been over. That could be another thing that plays into RVU's favor if I'm trying to be a Ray Brewer as Dr. Seaver. But anyway, let's get to the big game. The one that Brewer said at the top is the one that we wait for all year. Liberty... with their latest crack at Bishop Gorman. This one at Liberty. When's the last time they played at Liberty? I feel like it had been the state championship game at Sam Boyd. It had been at Bishop Gorman maybe at last Rancho. Year. At Rancho. I can't remember the G ever coming to the L.
I think the G went to the L for the first game in the L's history. And on the first play, DeMarco Murray took it to the house for a massively long touchdown.
Well, that's a good history lesson.
this is interesting. I won't be picking against Gorman, and, I'm going to go back to my narrative from the beginning of the year. I really think this Gorman team, top to bottom, is one of the best they've had in their dynasty, and I think they've been waiting to flex their muscles against a quality Vegas opponent. They're going to get one in Liberty, and I just think Liberty can't hold up for a full four quarters against all the weapons that Gorman's going to bring them. I think Gorman pulls away late.
All right, I answered all your questions, and in a snappy fashion, as you pointed out, so you got to answer mine. Not in snappy fashion. You can think about it, but what do you make the line here? I feel like we do this every year for Gorman Liberty, so to keep up with what we do.
What did we have in the 84-8 year? Because that was the year that Oblad was slinging it around, and they had all the receivers that could catch, and then he threw a pick on the first play of the game to like their four string receiver.
I can only remember it once being less than 30. Maybe that was that year, but yeah. Hopefully not. That
I think well for me, I'd say the line's got it. So running clock is 35. So I'd say 33.5 Gorman.
Do you, okay. Can I take Liberty?
Plus 33.
Action? Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good. You could take them for sure.
Okay. Well, yeah. All right. You're up $5, I think, from whatever
the last thing we did. So. I'll give you Gorman plus 33.
Liberty plus 33.5.
Gorman plus 33, you'd put the half on it.
I am not picking Liberty to win this game, but I think there's going to be a lot of emotion. I think they've been working towards this. I think they hang with them for a little while. I think Gorman wins out in the second half. I'm going to take Gorman to win, but Liberty... there's got to be some disappointment at this stage when you just keep feeling like you get a little closer, but keep losing by double digits. I can't see them keeping it into the single digits, but I think Liberty has a respectable
showing. They have to keep it close early. If they give up a touchdown on the first drive, get the bus started.
Yeah. We'll see if Liberty can shut them down on that first drive. Getting really down to the wire here. Not many games left. But Prep Sports Now will be here for the next couple weeks to talk about them. Again, coming to you on Tuesday, just like this week, next week. Brewer, any parting thoughts,
got nothing,
shots?
CK, nothing.
All right, he's got nothing. So Prep Sports Now for Ray, I'm Case. Thanks for listening.